QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech 2 CNET at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, the gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. But before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, hearing done. This evening we're going to bring up a couple of topics here from hints and kinks from the November QST. Pretty good stuff there, especially if you're a builder. But first, let's do our brief but valuable roster. Starting with WB6, CLZ, Mike.
TV Tom and everyone on the Tech Tuesday Net, this is WB6 CLZ, currently in Placentia.
And good evening there, Mike, from Placentia. I got a good signal in here. How about WB6 CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6 CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. Good signal. And fantastic bread, by the way. Thanks for being out there. Next, I have KA6CIA George from Lucerne Valley.
And Tom in the group, KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there. Good seeing you at the meeting. Next, I have KE6RJ and KE6QI Nancy, but I don't think they're local, and I don't see them up here on Echoing, so probably not going to be there this evening. All right, next on the list, KJ6FIL Mike in Redlands.
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike from Redlands. Hopefully it's not as cold down there as it is up here. Next, I have WA6ITC Rod, Lake Williams.
Yeah, Lake Williams is still here. WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you out there with us. Next I have KJ6KDL Jim, KJ6KDK Rosemary.
KJ6KDL
and KJ6KDK.
And good evening there, Jim and Rosemary. Glad to have you out there joining us. Let's see, next I have KI6IQA Kelly.
Sir, yes sir, KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly. Glad to have you out there. Let's see, we have K9AOG Stephen from Long Beach. Okay, don't hear Stephen out there. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Lynette. This is K6GBL from Torrance.
And good evening there, Ron. How is our signal breaking through there? No other interference this evening in Torrance?
Surprisingly, no interference. I think it's good.
Good deal there, Ron. Thanks for being out there and joining us from Torrance. How about 86PL Harold Riverside?
Evening, 86PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there from Riverside. Not sure if he's out there. He's out there earlier. K6LCS, Clint from Arupa Valley. this evening. Maybe he'll join us later on. All right, let's see if we got W6JLM Judith and or W6KMM Ken. All right, don't hear Ken and Judith out there this evening. That's okay. How about KJ6PYV, Dave from Sherwood.
Good evening, Tom and the net. KJ6PYV, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to hear you out there. And let's see, next I have here is K6YNW, Chris, Lower Desert.
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you out there. Well, let's see if he's out there this evening. He's been a couple times. How about W6POO, Chip?
Good evening, Tom and the net. W6POO, Palm Springs.
And good evening there, Chip. Glad to have you out there with us this evening. Chip, are you, did you move to back to Palm Springs?
Yes, I did. I'll tell you about it some other time, but yep, I'm back here in Palm Springs.
All right, good deal. Sounds like you're able to hit the repeater now. That's great. All right, next I have KD6LN Bill.
Yeah, I'm here again, KD6LN.
Well, Mr. Here Again, if you ever find Bill, put him out there. How you doing? Thanks for being out there. Let's see, moving on down the list here, how about KJ6QYN? Let's see if Shelly's there from Apple Valley.
KJ6QYN, mobile at Apple Valley. Good evening, Tom, and to the net. Back to net control.
And good evening, Shelly. Glad to have you out there, mobile Apple Valley. Appreciate that. All right, well, we haven't heard Rick out there in a while. We're going to skip over him this evening. Go right over to AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom and the net. Victor, Santa Fe Springs, and I have a question. How much snow did we get, and then what is the temperature now, over?
Well, over here in Sugar Loaf, we got about an inch, not much more, maybe 2 inches in Boulder Bay, and temperature a couple minutes ago was 29 degrees. Not too bad. Well, it's winter, and we missed you at the meeting there, Victor, and hopefully we'll see you at the next one. Anyway, next I have on the list is KA6ROD Rod and Moonridge. Okay, I don't know if you were trying to get in there, Rod. You want to try that one more time? Okay, I got some issues there, I guess. Anyway, moving on down the list, let's see, how about W6JET, Rob? Not hearing Rob out there. How about KJ6RAY, Ray? I heard him a minute ago.
Good evening, Tom, KJ6RAY Mobile.
And good evening, Ray. Glad to have you out there. All right, well, that is the majority of the list here. I'm sure there's a couple others out there. And if you'd like to check in as a guest this evening, or if I just missed you, and sorry about that, please come back to KF6Q.
From Sun City, W6AWL.
Good evening there, Art from Sun City. Glad to have you out there. Any announcements?
Little interference earlier. I squelched it out, and then I had turned it down so I could hear you. But we're here. Be back on the hill over the weekend. Just things we got to do. W6AWL.
Art, good to hear you out there, and yeah, by the way, this weekend is supposed to be warming back up again, so that should be good. Boy, it's kind of chilly right now. Anybody else out there as a guest?
PBZ.
Good evening there, Ray. Glad to have you out there as a guest. I know sometimes you are tied up this time. And anybody else out there wants to check in as a guest?
This is KI6RGB from West Covina.
RGB from West Covina. Glad to have you out there. Grew up in that town, by the way. And thanks for joining us. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest?
KB6LTY.
KB6LTY, Christy. Probably the one night I skipped over your name. Sorry about that. Glad to have you out there. Thanks for checking in, Christy. Anybody else?
Just had a comment, Tom.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I'm a little slow, and I discovered a couple of weeks ago there was a new repeater that's been established that serves, 3 Points area and parts of Antelope Valley. It's on the same frequency pair as this one, and I did not have my CT on my radio, and I was picking that one up thinking it was this Big Bear one. So I have since turned that on, so it squelches it out, but I just, I don't know if others know about that, but I thought I'd let you know. KB6LTY.
Yeah, Christy, I've been in contact with the repeater owners, and we're actually trying to arrange for some different arrangements there for them. But anyway, I think that they did some changes, and we'll probably get some more updates on that soon. So, yeah, very much aware of it for the last month, so actually month and a half. Thanks, Christy. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, well, I think we're going to get started here. Like I said, we are pulling from the November QST, and I'm actually reading this out of the online version. And Mike, anything else to add before we get started in this article?
Any techs out there that want to experience HF, now is the time. 10 meters has been hot for a couple of weeks now, and during the DX contest with just very little power, 10 watts or less, I worked all around the world. So if you want to experience some of the fun of ham radio, get on 10 meters in the high, with your tech license and enjoy. Back to you, Tom. WB6CLZ.
All right, Mike, well, good deal. And this evening, we're just going to kind of review a couple things here from Hints and Kinks. And by the way, there is actually, Mike, I believe there's a couple of books put out by the ARRL where they've put together a whole summation of this stuff, great stuff, good little techniques and things, anywhere from soldering to who knows what. And Mike, this is pretty cool here. And so I'm trying to read this online, but I think it's Steve Andrea, that's the AG1YK, is that correct?
That is correct, and the first one's very interesting. It's about wire joining techniques when you run into tensile wire. Go ahead, Tom. If you're having a hard time reading it, I can take off with the first part if you want me to. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is probably the first time I've been actually using the online version. I don't have the other one with me. However, they will be arriving soon. And, there it is. Oh, well, look at there. All I had to do is make it bigger. All right, well, go ahead, Mike. I'll let you take off, and maybe I can add in two after that.
Tom, this is a good one. I've run into this problem many times over the years and kind of just fake it and try to make it work, and usually it doesn't work at all. If anybody knows what tinsel wire is, it's wire that basically has foil wrapped around fibers to make wire. And they use it a lot. Anybody that's been into their, anybody that's ever had a problem with a headphone or a microphone or the older telephones, anything like that, you'll know what it is. Also here it says some musical instrument cords. So, yeah, maybe guitar amplifiers and like that. But basically, it's very hard to deal with. Well, this, we're talking about Frank Engley, KC4CQK, is the one that kind of came up or has visited us to Steve at Henson Kinks. And he says the secret to soldering his wires is to wrap the flimsy conductors with a stiffer conductor before soldering them. And the best wire for this is number 24 bare copper. Tom, how are you doing? See if you want to take it from there.
Well, Mike, I think you're doing an excellent job, and I must say that I'm having not great difficulty, but it's just a little awkward manipulating the online version here. But that's okay. Anyway, it looks like he's also got a couple other things of just soldering wire itself, okay? And we're actually letting the two overlap, parallel splice type. And I guess that's something that you can't do with that tensile wire. But even with that, there's a neat little trick to that, too. So, Mike, if you want to go ahead and take that.
Got a splice that he's doing with the solid wire. Let me regress a bit. And the tensile wire, basically, he wraps it a 10-inch piece of solid around 6 inches of stripped tensile wire, solders it, made sure to put his shrink tube on before he soldered it, unless you can get to the bitter end. And that takes care of the tensile wire. Also, can be used in case you have, like, a mic connector on the female side, or, I mean, the rig-mounted side that you need to solder. You can extend a little piece and hook it on. Yeah, now we're talking about a parallel splice, too, where you put the two pieces of two pieces of wire together and wrap it with some number 24, and then pull a piece of shrink tube back over on that after it's soldered and shrink it down, and it makes for a nice splice. He's also saying for mechanical cold connections, to use a couple of tie wraps, and that helps to kind of secure it. Pretty good ideas. Anybody that's got the QST or the online version, this is a good way to take care of a couple of those issues that we've all, I'm sure, had trouble with. Hey, back to you, Tom.
You know, and I think many of us have done this. Of course, it's always, you know, you can always wrap this stuff with electrical tape. But heat shrink tubing is really very cool stuff, and it's not very expensive. Of course, you know, right after you solder it, you remember that you forgot to put the heat shrink tubing on, which you have to put it on one of the pieces, unshrunk, of course, first. Well, okay, and enough said about that. A couple things, though, depending on the environment, it never hurts to actually throw a couple pieces on there. You could actually throw one over across your splice, shrink that, and then bring another one in and shrink that. Usually these will shrink 2-to-1. I think there's some other ratios out there. We did talk about this sometime back on Tech Tuesday. With that said, this helps build it up a little bit, and of course, you know, if you can get pretty creative with that to get extra protection on there with your solder joints and stuff like that. And of course, Mike, I'm thinking that this stuff is probably pretty waterproof too, to some degree. Not sure how waterproof. Have you ever had tested? I don't even know how you would test it, I guess. Might be dangerous to test it. Back to you, Mike.
I have had several chances to test it. First of all, it's available at Home Depot and most of your electronic stores like Fry. But I get the stuff at Home Depot as an electrician because it does have a 600-volt rating, and it is approved by most building inspectors. If you have, like, burnt wiring or something in the attic that you can't get to, you can always usually put a piece of shrink tubing over. And with 600-volt rating, that would be an approved method of insulating that wire. Yes, I have. I've done a lot of ground lighting in my day, and as you know, water and electricity don't mix. Had a couple of issues where we had wire that was shorted down up to a foot, and I was able to slide the heat shrink tubing on that and insulate it and without even really shrinking it. And that eliminated it in the short, and I've never had a call back on that property, so it must have worked very well. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. Yeah, I did not know the ratings you just read off there, so that's pretty cool to know. And, you know, that's neat. And like I say, all these little kinks and hints and tips and whatnot, very cool. Always at least the one column in each QST, very valuable magazine that comes with the subscription to the ARRL, worth the price of the subscription itself. So, but anyway, well, Mike, let's move on to the next thing here. I see he's using a chalk reel, and what's that all about?
As you know, I'm one of those guys that like to operate portable. I'll take my radio out on the trail and throw out an antenna and you know, work the world, hopefully. Sometimes it happens. Anyway, he says he does a lot of backpacking and working from hotels and such, and motels, and he can make a simple long wire antenna about 50 feet, which would turn into a tuner, or you could make it the length to be resonant for whatever frequency you're operating, as long as the resonant frequency is 50 feet or less. But it looks like he's used some wire that's silicone insulated, so it's pretty flexible and takes off the string on the chalk line and winds the wire on, and then he can have an antenna. Number 26 Teflon coated. I know I saw it in there somewhere. Teflon coated wire, so it makes a pretty good QRP antenna. I don't know if I'd run 100 watts through it, but pretty good for low power operation. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and actually, it's always good to get a new chalk line. If you got an older one that has chalk in it, you'll have quite a dusty, chalky mess if you unravel this thing. Not to actually advertise, but the Fatmax brand actually has gears in that, so it's faster to roll that thing up. And I do believe there's some other, you know, different models out there that have like gears. Or this is the regular old chalk line. You know, there's like a million of them out there, and I don't think they cost that much anymore, and never have. Pretty cool, and like I said, it keeps it from getting tangled up. The Teflon-coated wire, I think the fine wire actually is pretty sufficient for low power, good DX work, QRP work, and with that said, you know, this will keep it from getting all tangled as a mess. That's very easy to do. Well, Mike, I see also, too, they're not just stopping here at, you know, heat shrink tubing. I see he's, and I don't know if this is tied in with the other one, using a bicycle tube to wrap coax. What is that about?
Well, that was pretty interesting too, Tom. But let's finish up on this one. We'll give credit to Alan Amos, KN1 Oscar, for that. And a little side note, I have used 100-foot tape measures for antennas too in hotel rooms. Anyway, yeah, it looks like they're using a bicycle inner tube, which you're very inexpensive. It says $3 at the local bike shop. I'm sure you can pick them up here and there too for a lot less, but you got to keep your eyes open. Looks like he cuts a sleeve about 2 inches beyond each side of the coax joint where you've got the connections together, the two pieces of coax together, and then basically just uses zip ties to tighten up on that and keep the weather out. Looks like a pretty good deal. Also treats the sleeve with Armorall or similar product to prevent UV damage. That seems like a pretty good idea too. Back to you, Tom.
You know, that's another great tip here. And like I said, I really am seeing parts of this, and I'm trying to scroll up and down, and it's taking me almost all the time that you're talking there to get this thing to scroll right. So anyway, looking forward to getting the actual print issues back. Just didn't renew my membership here in time. Well, anyway, and here's one, Mike, and I think we've had somebody out there with this issue, and I think other people have had this too, is getting RFI from the electronic lighting ballast. And you being in the lighting industry and a certified electrician, maybe you could even add to some of the information we have here.
Yeah, and they're talking about, in this article, the F96 T12 lamps. Most of them will be F96 T12 CW, which is cool white. But that's the old K-12 lamps, the ones that are, oh, an inch and three-quarter, inch and a half around, not the little new tiny ones. But they are talking about, I'm sure that the TH, the smaller ones, have the same issue. And we may let Bill talk about this in a second, but let me go on here. They're saying that he had the old T-12, and he changed to the new electronic ballasts, which are pretty good as far as energy-wise. They use hardly anything with the new lamps and the ballast. Usually less than an amp on these guys. So he turned on the lights after doing that, and he had an S9 signal on several of his 2-meter radios, and it appeared to cover the entire band. So he it also interfered with his X10 modules. X10 modules are remote control modules that you can control your switches, your lights, and everything from either a panel or with an adapter. You can use it through your computer. X10 is pretty interesting stuff. Anyway, he said he was able to eliminate the interference by installing a Fairrite, Fairrite. I'm going to reset. It looks like it's type 43 split core material ferrite snap on filter. Okay, they give a part number. Tom, should we see if Bill is still having that interference and if this is of interest to him? Back to you.
Yeah, Mike, let's check and see if Bill's out there. Bill, I know you had some problems with the electronic ballast. Are they still causing any havoc in your garage there? KD6LN, are you still out there? KF6Q.
Yes, sir. I be here. And strangely enough, it only affects the one radio, the Kenwood.
Oh, okay. And I would say that I know you've got some HTs there, a couple of different radios. And how does that deal? I know at one time it was even affecting it. Was that affecting everything, or did part of it go away? Maybe you could just give us a little background.
Okay, it does not affect the radio on the power supply. It doesn't affect either one. The TV affects it to where I don't have any receive at all if the TV is on, while the handheld is in the charger in the garage. And if the TV is off, and the lights are on, then it's just a lot of static. I can hear people in the background, but there's a lot of noise static. If I take the handheld out of the charger and walk over to the garage door, to the opening, and talk out there, it's fine, even with the lights on.
Well, good deal. Yeah, and you know what, and like I said here, Mike, I think this is a pretty cool of putting a type 43 split core ferrite material. And I'm just wondering if those are very similar to, I know type 43, you can look that stuff up from Palomar or Amadon. Both of those have a lot of good information if you want to know what all these type numbers mean. And they actually are for different frequency ranges and different purposes. So, but anyway, type 43, one thing that you could always try if you had an old cord with some appliance that had one of those little, looked like little lumps in your cord. And you can open those things up. Hey, if it's on something that you're throwing out, check it out. And if it works, you can always pick those up. They're readily available someplace. Usually online, you can get just about anything. Well, Mike, anything else to add with that, with the electronic ballast?
I've not really talked. I'm in a residential setting. I usually do mostly commercial and medical centers and such, so we generally don't get into where we are concerned about interference, and the ones I have here just don't. I guess I'm pretty lucky. Also, while we're talking, let's give credit to the inner tube waterproofing with the bicycle tube to Stephen Burns, N5BTU, and with the electronic ballast, it's Dwight Holston, N3ARU, submitted that into Henson Kinks. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, well, good deal. And last but not least here, I see here, here's a kind of cool one, talking about Echolink and Echolink on Linux. Now, some of you out there, most people use Windows of some sort, and I always say most people, it just seems to be that way. But a lot of Linux users out there, Ubuntu, very good operating system, version of Linux, and it's currently up to, I guess, 13.04 was just released. Anyway, and the cool part about that is that stuff is free. Anyway, but if you want to run Echolink, well, it's a Windows program. So if I got Echolink, Windows, which is a Windows program, what do I do with Linux, Mike? My gosh, what am I going to do?
Yeah, I think you download the Echolink Setup 20908EXE from echolink.org and check to see that Wine, I guess it's a compatibility layer that allows Windows programs to run on Linux, is installed. If not, you download the current version from www.winehq.org and install it by opening the window terminal, terminal window, and entering the command wine control enter. Anyway, it's got a whole procedure there that if anybody doesn't have this this QST, you know, I don't know if we can send that to them or not, Tom. I don't know if we can cut that and paste, but we'll find a way. But yeah, otherwise, just look it up and then click on the Echolink startup icon and install it on the desktop. And I guess you have to tell Echolink on a Windows whether you're a Windows or a Linux platform. Seems pretty simple if you just follow the procedure they have here. Back to you, Tom.
Okay, and that pretty much is it. That will give credit to Tom Hart, call sign Alpha Delta 1 Bravo, and he's calling from out there in Massachusetts. So, and I down here we are at the last item for this month is off-the-shelf expander, basically connecting up to five pairs of headphones together. I don't know if I've ever had to do that. This product is made by Belkin. It's on here. And Mike, I don't know, have you ever found a need for that? But if you do, here it is, and why don't you go ahead and take that.
I have, Tom. I like to play CW from now and then. And right now, let's see, I'm looking at three hand keys, Fiberplex bug, and a little another little QRP type Fiberplex. So yeah, I have needed that to where I can put my hand key in one, probably put one of the little paddles in the other, and plug that into the rig, and that way I can switch back and forth. I like to keep my brain working, so a lot of times I'll have one on the left and one on the right, and I will do left-handed, right-hand CW, so we can keep the brain aligned. Also good for headphones at field day, for instance. It's always good to have headphones for the QRM that may be behind you, high. And this would be a great way to have one for you, one for the logger, and maybe if somebody is visiting, a pair of headphones for them too. And then it's not going out and causing interference out on your speakers. Back to you, Tom.
Hey, I'm KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group here, ready Tuesday that we can. You know, and this is right here, this example they have here is the 3.5 millimeter plug. And, of course, if anybody's dealt with audio plugs and jacks and things like that, man, there's a few sizes out there. There's eighth inch, quarter inch, 3.5 millimeter. And some of these are real close to the same size as others, but don't quite fit. So you want to make sure that you got which size you have, if that's at all possible. But I imagine that, I have not looked this up, they probably do have this little neat little rock star, as they call it, splitter available in other things, but you can always use adapters and adapt to everything else. But with all that said, yeah, that's pretty neat. A lot of different cables and adapters. I know I've got a box full here, so I always look in the box, and hopefully I find it in there. So anyway, pretty cool stuff, and that is from Bob Mayo, call sign W2 Tango Alpha Charlie. That's Whiskey 2 Tango Alpha Charlie, and he hails from New York, state of New York. So anyway, Mike, I think we've got this. This is pretty much it for this month's Hints and Kinks, but definitely pretty cool. And is there anybody out there of these multiple different things here? We've talked about splicing and soldering, small stuff, using some good old heat shrink, a chalk box for a portable antenna. That's very cool. I like that. That's neat. I have a couple of those around. And then actually using bicycle inner tubes to actually seal some stuff up, or zip ties and things on the ends. And right, last but not least, the off-the-shelf audio jack expander. Anyway, anybody with any questions or comments on any of this, please come back to KO6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
86PL.
And good evening again, Harold. Yes, go ahead.
For cheap bicycle inner tubes, usually if you go to the pseudo 99 cent stores, meaning the 98 cent and more stores, they're around $2 a piece there. At Kmart's like $5 or $6 for the cheapest they have. And if you want something a little more permanent than the bicycle tube, I've seen it, the first place I saw it was at Sears in a hardware store. Seen it at Home Depot and Lowe's. So any, you know, do-it-yourself home place will have it. It's a roll of rubber. Looks like electrical tape. You apply it like electrical tape, and as you lay it down, it vulcanizes itself to itself. So it's a permanent seal. They say that if you have a radiator hose squirting hot water, you can wrap it with that, and you've just saved your radiator hose. So that gives you an idea of what you can do with 86 mil.
Yeah, and Harold, I think if anybody out there is in the construction end of stuff, some of those rolls, which I think they're 6 or 12 inches wide, also used for installation of windows in a house. It's actually a flashing, pretty cool stuff. Up here in Big Bear, we have a thing called iStem. Comes in 3 foot wide rolls, huge rolls. With that said, that'd probably be a little bit overkill. Good stuff. And it does. It sticks to itself, seals to itself pretty good, and probably if you bought a roll, you'd have enough to last you for a lifetime, no doubt. So, didn't know about the fact as far as repairing hoses. That's pretty cool. Pretty good application there. I like that. So, anybody else out there? Any comments or questions? Please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group. Okay, had some carrier only there. Go ahead.
KJ6KDL.
Yeah, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, Leo Laporte was talking about this as if it was something fantastic, and I was going to mention it as you're looking on the internet, and it didn't seem to be as exciting. I wasn't going to mention it, but here it goes anyway. CFI lights and noise, and the fact they don't last as long as they ever originally sold us to do. LED bulbs are supposedly coming down in price, and there was an announcement that a company called CRE, Charlie, Raven, Echo, Echo, has a deal with Home Depot exclusively to sell 40-watt LED bulbs for $10, $9.97 actually, and 60-watt for, what was it, around $14. And turns out there's others in a similar price range. Philips has one in the $15 range, but they are coming down, and they supposedly are less noise prone, even though they tend to decay over time. So it's an alternative. The price is getting there. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, Jim, I've seen those in the store. And actually, when you're quoting those, the 40-watt and 60-watt, that's the equivalent lumens of a, you know, incandescent light, a 40 and 60. I believe they only draw about 6 watts, maybe 9 watts, respectively there. So that's real low wattage for some great lumens of light. And some of these bulbs, too, what they've done is arrange them inside a globe so they look like a regular bulb, and in a fashion so that it radiates light out in all different directions as a regular bulb does, as LEDs tend to be a little bit directional. So they've got these things inside there, and very cool. And if all is said and done, the life expectancy of these is incredible. So, of course, you know, the proof is in the pudding, as they say. Let's see what happens. So, yeah, their prices are coming down, and I think they have a lot of noise-limiting stuff in there to keep the noise down. Good point there, Jim. Glad to hear that. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions or suggestions for Tech Tuesday and the group?
Got a quick one?
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got to work tonight, so I'm going to have to excuse myself and get headed down towards Newport Beach. We've got 3 properties we've got to stop at, so if I could excuse myself, I would really appreciate it. WB6CL's it.
Well, Mike, I think we've pretty much covered everything this evening, and that'll let you go. And by the way, just be careful. Do not sprain those fingers changing those light bulbs. I've heard that it takes months for those finger joints to... Sorry, a little joke there. All right. Anyway, I'll stick around here for a little bit, though, but we pretty much covered that, and I think we got all the comments in there. So I want to thank everybody for joining us again this Tuesday, and we'll always try to keep something interesting and new out there on the cutting edge of QST. So please come back and see us again next Tuesday right here. So QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net with the assistance of WB6CLZ. Mike, thanks again. Closing the net, 1900 hours and 42 minutes, and we'll return the repeater back to normal use. Thanks again.